All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We are continuing our series in the Gospel of Mark, and you're going to have to forgive me because this is going to be out of place. I'm actually preaching this after I've preached it before. We had some people come in and help themselves to some of our equipment, and one of our equipment was our digital recorder that was taken from us, and so I didn't get a chance to put it on the internet. So this is a recording of a sermon that I've preached on the Gospel of Mark. So if you're listening, you won't miss it, but this is probably not going to be the same as if you heard it on that Sunday morning. So if you have your Bibles, as I said, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And we're going to begin in Jesus' block of teachings. And he's going to be talking about the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. So we're going to begin in verse 1 of Mark's Gospel. And I begin reading in verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about this parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand the parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. Here we have a new method of Jesus teaching the people. And he uses a method of teaching called a parable. Now, if you would look in a normal book, you would probably not know what a parable is. We don't usually use that word. I think I'll tell you a parable. That's not a common word that we use. And the question is, what is a parable? Well, a parable is a story intended to illustrate a spiritual or moral truth. Basically, it's an illustration. Let me show you some kind of a situation or some kind of a spiritual thing, and I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know about you, but I love stories. I love to hear stories, and I love to tell stories. I could tell you guys stories all day long of different things. But stories are just stories unless we have some kind of a truth that we're trying to show in that story. We use different ways of doing that. For instance, if we're wanting to show, I use it all the time in my sermon preaching. If I want to prove a point or bring home a point, I'll tell a story, depending on what that particular point is. Let's say that I'm preaching preaching on salvation. I will sometimes give a story of how a person comes to salvation to show that point, so that people can understand what is being said. We have to remember that Jesus was teaching the multitudes here. The setting was that he was by the seashore in the boat. And it says in verse 1, and again he began to teach by the sea. We find that the sea is a wonderful place because a lot of people could come and gather, and he could get out in the boat, and the water would act as an amplifier. It would act as a microphone. So he could get out on the boat a little ways, and he could speak, and the waves would act as a sound system. Pretty cool, huh? So he would get out there and he would begin to teach the people. We see again the crowd was very great. If you've noticed in the book of Mark, we see that a lot of people are coming to Jesus. The second part of that phrase, he says, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it in the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Now, we don't know how many people were here. There were probably thousands of people that have come to see Jesus. They've come to hear what he has to say. They've come to hopefully maybe get healed by him, or to let their relatives or themselves be alleviated maybe by an evil spirit. We don't know. But we know that Jesus wanted to give them a spiritual truth, but in order for him to do that, he needed to use a story. He wanted the people to listen to it in a story. And so it says in verse 2 that he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching. Now, the parable that we're going to look at here is the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. The parable is a sower goes out to sow, and there's many assets to this. First of all, he sows seeds that does not take root. He goes in and he scatters a seed. It's a farmer goes, and he's got a bag on his shoulder with some seed in it, and he goes out and he begins to sow the seed. And some seed we find falls on the wayside. Now, the wayside, another word for that is the word path or walking path. It would be like a road. It's hard earth, well trodden on by people. And he goes and he scatters some. And, of course, the ground is too hard for it to fall in. And immediately the birds come and they eat it up. Some also fall, and they fall upon the stony soil, and they wither. These are things that don't even take root. It says that he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Now, this does not mean that there were little rocks in the soil. What this meant was you had maybe 6 inches, if not that, of earth. Then you had a big rock, like a big rock, underneath it. So it was like a little bit of earth and then a big bedrock. So if you would try to plant anything, it wouldn't go very far. It would automatically, it would start to grow and it would hit that rock and then it would die. Okay? So there were seeds that did not take root. There are also the sower who sowed some seed that it does take root, but it yielded no fruit. And this one falls among the thorns. And I don't know if you've ever gardened, but you know that in all gardens you have weeds that get in to the fruit, and it makes it almost impossible for it to grow. And we see that in verse 7. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So then you have some that does bear fruit. And verse 8, but some seed fell on the good ground that yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, I will have to tell you that if it was just a normal story, I would have no idea what it meant. And Jesus uses a phrase at the end of this story to tell us that this is going to take a little bit more than our human ears to hear. Because he says at the end of verse 9, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, what does that mean? Because everyone has ears and we all hear. So why would we have to say to all those who were sitting in that crowd who were probably listening to Jesus, they had ears and they were hearing, but why would Jesus say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? He was not speaking of their physical ears, but he was speaking of their spiritual ears. And here is an interesting concept, because we begin to see glimpses of the fact that the Bible to non-believers, to those who do not know Jesus as their Savior, is a closed book. Meaning that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you will not be able to understand the Bible. When people come up to you and they tell you that they can't understand the Bible, that it's a bunch of foolishness, it's a bunch of hoaxes, it's a bunch of fairy tales, I believe them, because I believe that they believe that. Because number one, their spiritual ears have not been opened. They have not asked the Holy Spirit to come in and to show them the meaning of the passage. And so that's why Jesus, or the disciples, when they come to him and they ask him about the parable, he gives them insight into this fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates the Scriptures to us. And that's what we have in verse 11. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside," meaning who do not know Christ, "all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Now, this does not mean that Jesus does not want them to turn and be forgiven. He wants all people to come and have forgiveness of sins. But what he is saying here is, he says that if you do not have the Holy Spirit revealing and showing you what the message is, you will not get it. We find this to be extremely true as we look at the book of Corinthians. Paul talks about the inspiration of the Bible, and I've been probably hammered on this by some people, but I still take this stand, that I do believe that the Bible is a closed book, meaning that you cannot understand the Bible if you're not saved. And the question is, then how do you get saved? And how does the Bible lead to your salvation? And I simply say this, is that the Holy Spirit begins to work on your spirit, and you begin to cry out to God and say, God, I need you. And then God opens your eyes and you see the Word, and the Word becomes alive to you. And it can transform your life in a magnificent way. But he talks about the concept of this wisdom. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, however, we speak a wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What is Paul saying here? He is saying that you can't understand the things of God. You can't understand God's Word without the power of the Holy Spirit. But yet he has given the Holy Spirit to all of us. And if we cry out to him and we say, God, I want to know your book. He who has spiritual ears, let him hear, let him open their hearts and their minds to the message. That's what Jesus was saying to these people. He says you have to have open ears, open spiritual ears to get what is being said. So what is being said? What is being said here? What is the meaning of this parable? Well, the sower, as we know, the sower means he is sowing the Word of God. This is the preacher. This is you and I that go out and we take our faith to non-believers. Either we go through and we preach the message, or we go out and we share it with our co-workers at work through maybe a tract or a devotional or a book that we've read, and we give them the Word. And the Word falls on different people's hearts. The soil represents a different stage of a person's heart. One stage is that they're completely rebellious against God. Do you know these people? These are the type of people that it doesn't matter what you tell them, they don't want to hear the gospel message. Amen. Right? I've seen those people. I've tried to share the message of God, and they want nothing to do with the Bible. In fact, all they can tell you is obscenities and bad things, and it's just almost like a waste of your time. These are the people that the seed falls on the path. It doesn't even take root because the birds come and eat it up. They want nothing to do with the Bible. That's the first stage, is just a pure, rebellious, hard heart. Okay? Secondly, some hear the Word, but they don't get very far. The Word is received excitedly. They are excited to hear the Word, right? Verse 16, it says, might help if I'm in the right book here, right chapter. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure not only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. These are people that come and they get saved in a moving concert. Now when I say that, I don't know if you've ever been to some of these big events where they preach the gospel and thousands of people rush to the front to give their hearts to Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and there are truly people that have been saved through those events. But a lot of times, what happens is that people get caught up in the moment. They get caught up in the lights and the music and the words. And before they even realize what it is they're doing, they find themselves halfway down to the altar to pray a prayer. And they pray a prayer, and now they're Christians. And they don't know what that means. They don't know what that looks like. And now they're starting out on this new journey to become a Christian. And it all seems to go well until a trial or tribulation comes. And it rocks their world to the point where they want nothing to do with God. Why? Because they weren't really saved to begin with. It never took root. They received it with gladness, but it didn't go deep. And then some hear the word, and they hear it among thorns. Now these are the people that they hear the word. And it's just because they do it, not really because they have anything better to do, but it's kind of like you buy an insurance policy. It's just another thing you add on to your life. They do it not because they really want to. It's just because it's just a convenience for them. But what happens is that it's convenient for the moment because it seems to be going okay, but the moment that the troubles and the trials of this world, and it says in verse 18, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now these are people, I believe, are saved. These are people, it doesn't say here that they didn't take root. It says it took root. But what happened was, is they allowed, these are what I call unspirit-filled Christians. These are the people that they're saved, but they're so concerned about the things of this world. They would rather make all the money they could. They would rather work, but they have salvation as just a means to get them to heaven, and that's all that there is. My friends, that's not a way to live. These are people that are so worried about the cares of this world and all these things that they don't leave it to Jesus. And then he gives one more. He says there's one more group. He says some hear the word and they receive it on good ground. And they hear it and they produce fruit. Now there's different stages of fruit. Not everyone bears the same amount of fruit, and that's okay. He says some bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100. We don't know why. It's just that's the way it happens. So the question that we ask ourselves today as we begin to look at this is the question of what ground are you planted in? What soil is your heart at? Are you a productive, persevering believer? If you are, then that does not mean that you're perfect. It means that you cling to the truth and seek to apply it constantly. You're open and honest, responsive to Scripture, pliable to the Holy Spirit, grateful for grace, and hungry for righteousness. You are growing towards maturity. My friend, this is the good soil. And if you're planted here, you want to stay here. That's the good ground. Amen. Are you a busy, preoccupied believer, maybe? When you look at the priorities of your life, do you see thorns choking out the teaching of Scripture? Do you allow the desire for affluence and comfort and power and position or privilege to keep your relationship with Christ low on your list of priorities? Are you distracted from spiritual concerns? Does your lack of contentment hinder you from experiencing peace within? My friend, if you're there, God is ready to hear your prayer. And He is ready to transplant you to better soil if you let Him. But maybe this morning you are in the shallow soil of a superficial seeker. If so, then you are rootless and unstable. You responded to an emotional appeal or followed a crowd or did something to please a friend. Or you like the company that you now keep, but you wouldn't take much to change your mind. You're a hearer but not a doer. You're not really a believer. You're only slightly better off than the last kind of soil. Are you that? Or maybe this morning you're the hard-hearted, stubborn one who has no interest in spiritual things at all. If that's you, my friends, a day is going to come when you're going to reject and you're going to regret ever being proud. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot live a rebellious life and get away with it. What you sow, you will also reap. If you want to reap a life of rebellion and stubbornness against God, you're going to reap that. Don't think that you're going to be able to live a life of rebellion against God and get away with it. Not going to work. Unfortunately, probably by that time, it'll be too late. But you know what? There's always time to have God plow the soil of your heart to make it into good ground. How do we do that? We simply ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. Ask Jesus to always make our hearts and soils good. And if we are truly open to His work in our lives, then we know that without a shadow of a doubt, we will be the people that God's called us to be. So what soil are you planted in? My prayer is today that you are planted in the good soil. Does that mean that you're perfect? Does that mean that you'll never make a mistake? No. That means that you're open and surrendered to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus in such a way that you allow Him to work in your life and for Him to be number one in yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Father, for the parable of the soils. To know that there are different kinds and stages of the belief of the human heart. That sometimes when we go and we share the gospel message to people, they just flat out reject the message. Well, we know why. It's because the seed fell among the path. Also, we know that sometimes when we share the gospel, that they take it great, they take it really well. They're so excited, and then a little while later, they fall away. And we know that it's because there was no really any root that took place, no really discipleship that happened. Father, we also know that there are other people that just have Christianity not on the high priority. They may have been saved for a long, long period of time, but just church and Sunday school and the things of God are just not on the important list, but yet they know that they need to be better. Father, we know that those are the seeds among the thorns. And then, Father, there are those that we preach the gospel message to, and they receive it, and they produce fruit. And Father, we pray that not only our lives would be in that soil, but Father, we pray that the hearts of those who hear the message that we preach and that we share with others at our works, at our places of business, Father, that they would be in the good soil, And we pray for those that if they're in those other soils, we pray, Lord, that you would soften that soil and remove the weeds and the rocks and the thorns so that they would be good soil. We can't do this alone. We need your help, and we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.